Thank you, Johnny. It's hard to make a budget presentation entertaining and informing and enlightening, and you've pulled it off. And we are thankful to Johnny and Amber and all the people who work on our finance committee, the people who've served us in that capacity, and we're grateful for the job that they do. Let's pray before we jump in. Father, we pray that in everything we do, we would be good stewards of the gifts that you've given us, of the talents, of the time, of all the ways that you've enriched our lives. Father, we pray that we would not just be cheerful receivers, but that we would be generous in return, in the kind of people we are, in the kind of church that we are. And Father, I celebrate the ways that you have worked through us this past year and worked through so many people in this room as the church. And we pray that as a church, we would continue to be faithful. We would continue to be open. We would continue to open all that we are to you. And we pray this through Jesus' name. Amen. So you saw a video during the announcements about our annual Arkansas School for the Deaf party. And if you're not very familiar, if you haven't been here, if you are new, we have for many years now, you as the church, through your generosity, has provided gifts for the kids at the Arkansas School for the Deaf. And you, through your generosity, have provided stockings for the house workers at the Arkansas School for the Deaf. And you, through your time, giving of your time and your energy, have provided this wonderful party at the Arkansas School for the Deaf. And if you don't know, we also have at our church the very best Santa and Mrs. Claus. And we've actually got a picture from the newspaper right here. Santa showed up, and some of you, if you don't know, and they may be a little embarrassed for me to say this, but Santa and Mrs. Claus, and we won't give away their secret identity here this morning, but are so generous with their time this time of year. Go all over the place. Will not accept a dime for their work. They just give out of their love, out of their generosity. I actually happened to run into them the other day. They were getting a late lunch, and Santa had red from head to toe jogging suit on, and it was the best thing you've ever seen. And it just looks like we stumbled upon Santa on his day off. And so we're grateful. And all of that combined went to make this wonderful party that you, out of your generosity, make happen every year. Tonight, we've already talked about it. We have our Christmas program. And we have so many people who've sacrificed so much time to put that together. And we've got our kids who are working hard and giving of their time. This year we have some of our teens and they're going to play something and sing something, and that's going to be so good. We've got our worship team and they're going to do a lot. And then we as a church get to join in some congregational singing as well. It is going to be a wonderful time. And then did I mention we have the best Santa and Mrs. Claus in town, and they're going to be here, and kids can come, and then we're going to have cookies, and we're going to have Mike Bryant and his group, and they're going to be there. And it is the hard work and the generosity of you, the church, that brings all of that together and is going to make that possible. And I highlight those things because if you grabbed one of these brochures when you came in, then you're going to notice that those are just two of the many things that we mention in our year in review. And if you didn't get one, they're on the tables in the back, and you can grab one as you go out. It's important for you to take a look and see when We saw another church who had done something similar, thought it was a wonderful idea. I would be remiss if I didn't stop right now and thank Catherine Davis for all of her hard work in bringing this together. I don't see where she's sitting, but Catherine Davis is our office administrator, and you want to thank her for all the hard work that she put in there. But the purpose of this is to show you just a few little snapshots of the many ways that God is working in us as a church and through us as a church, because God is active and alive in this place because you are opening yourselves to give of yourselves in your time, with your gifts, with your generosity, to help us be the church. And that's what it means to be the church. It is all of us joining together. And so this doesn't show everything that goes on, but my guess is it may give you some hints that there's more that happens than you were even aware of. And I hope you'll learn a little bit more about all the things that are happening in our church. So you'll see on the very first page, if you open up at the bottom, there is a thank you CVC. This was a poster board that was put together by Don Roberts, the elementary school just down the road. And you may not be aware that our children's ministry and our youth ministry have led the way in providing snack bags for kids with food insecurity that they provide on a regular basis as a part of a neighbor project. And they provided during teacher-parent conference days snacks for the teachers. And this is just one of those little ways that love in action is showing the people around us who we are and what we're about as a church. As you flip through the booklet, you're going to see little images of activities that are going on with ministries in this church, our mission efforts in this church, and ways that we're supporting mission efforts here in town a lot, and ways that we've done that across the world. You're going to be reminded or perhaps informed of all the ways that our building is used throughout the week. And much of it is members that are coming up and using for different activities. But if you don't know, our elders from the beginning have always said that these buildings and the grounds is not about just who we are as a church. We want to make that available for the community. And so we have people from the community who are constantly using our facilities. We've got ball teams. We've got weddings. We've got an archery team. We've got all sorts of community gatherings. If you don't know, usually a couple of times a month, we've got a group of Egyptian Christians that come, a small number of families that will come, and they will worship. And if you know much about the Christian community in Egypt over the last few years, then you know that they're a community that's under duress. They're struggling. And those are people who are touched by that with friends and family, and yet they're seeking to be faithful. And I love that for years we've made our space available for them to come and worship. Something unique this year, and we've talked about before, that is important for you to know. It was, I don't know, 5-6 months ago, Caitlin Sparks Teague came to us, who works for the Arkansas State Police, and her husband, who also works for the state police, and they came to us and they needed a place for training. There is something budgeted down the road where they may have their own space, but as things happen in civic budgeting, that got slowed up and they don't have their own space. They said, we need a space for this training and these tryouts, and would your space be available? And we were like, we would be thrilled for you to use that. And so it was this last month that we received a letter. They just wrapped up. And we received a letter from Colonel William Bryant of the Arkansas State Police, and I want to read that to you. He says, on behalf of the Arkansas State Police, please accept my appreciation for your graciousness in allowing the Arkansas State Police a venue free of charge for the applicant physical fitness testing as well as incumbent physical fitness tests over the span of 4 months. The Chenal Valley Church and office staff were extremely supportive and accommodating to our training staff with all of the dates requested and changes made throughout the months, and constantly checking on the training staff to see if any help was needed. They went above and beyond what was asked of them, and the entire testing process was completed without incident, thanks to their generosity. It is an honor for the members of the Arkansas State Police to know we have the backing of so many great people from the state of Arkansas. If we may ever be of any assistance to you or your staff, please don't hesitate to contact me. Sincerely, William J. Bryant, Colonel. Now, there's a reason that I share that, and there's a reason that we wanted to share some of the details like we've shared in this year in review booklet. And part of it is what I've hinted to, and that is there is a lot that is happening in this place through this church. And some of it is what we do in life together, but some of it are all the ways that we're making ourselves available, making our space available, shining the light of Jesus to our community around us. And I want you to be informed, but even more, my prayer is that you will be invested and that you will get involved. So if there's things that you learn about that you didn't know about, or things going on that you've not gotten connected to, we want you to be invested and involved, because that's how the church lives out its calling of being the church. It's not just a couple of people who do the job. It is all of you, as you will see in this booklet, that gets busy and gets involved. And the second thing here is, I'm not trying to pat ourselves on the back with this, but I do hope that in recognizing some of the many things that are going on, it is an opportunity for us to celebrate and praise God, because it is God working through us that makes a difference as a church, as we're trying to live out our calling of loving God with all we are and loving our neighbor as ourselves. And in the process of celebration, my hope is that this will serve as a motivation for us as a church to keep going and to keep growing. It has been your generosity of time, of talents, of giving of yourself that has made this possible. And my prayer is that we will continue to grow in our generosity. We want to be a church that is exceedingly generous, extravagant in love and grace and caring for one another and sharing life together as a church. And we want to be a church that is exceedingly generous in welcoming everyone who comes to this place and giving them a place to belong, a place to use their gifts and their time and talent. We want to be a church that is exceedingly generous in serving our community and sharing Jesus everywhere we are, whether that is when we gather or whether that is when we go out as a church. And we want to be a church that is exceedingly generous in using all that we have that God has given us to be a blessing to one another and the community around us. For the last couple of minutes this morning, I want to give us all a challenge, and that is that we would continue to grow in our generosity. And the first challenge is this: be committed to give completely. I want you to listen to what Jesus says concerning the religious elite of his day in Matthew 23. He says, "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You tithe, that is, you give a tenth of your spices, your mint, dill, cumin, but you've neglected the more important matters of the law: justice, mercy, and faithfulness. You should have practiced the latter without neglecting the former." Now, I don't have time to go into a deep dive in this text, but what Jesus is doing is he's saying these religious leaders are covering their bases when it comes to their giving, when it comes to their tithe, Because God called us to give 10% of what we have as a minimum. And they're giving 10%, including out of their spice rack, their herbs and spices. Oh, we'll make sure we give our 10%. And so they're bringing little snack baggies even of the mint and the dill and the cumin. And they might have sprinkled in a pinch of salt or a dash of pepper just to be safe and make sure they're square with the Lord. And what Jesus says in essence is, well, thanks for the snack bags of your spices and your herbs. Now what about the rest? Because you've taken care of the small details of the law. But you can't overlook what it's all about. Things like justice, caring for the poor and the widow and the orphan, standing beside those who are pushed down and left out. Things like mercy, extending the same compassion and graciousness and forgiveness that God extends us. Things like faithfulness in all things, not just the small things, but all things. And that's my encouragement to all of us, the kinds of things that we celebrated in this booklet and so much more are not what Jesus would describe as going the extra mile. What Jesus says is those kinds of things are the expected mile. Because discipleship calls us to give everything. Following Jesus means that we deny ourselves and we take up a cross and we offer back to God everything that He has given us. Here's the second challenge. I think part of offering all to God is going to then mean being disciplined to give generously. We've been talking about spiritual disciplines, and I think it's helpful for us to think about generosity in terms of a discipline, whether that has to do with our time, whether that has to do with our resources, whatever those may be. Because if we're talking about giving of ourselves regularly and giving of our finances regularly, giving of our time regularly, and not just the occasional moment, then most of us have to plan for that. Most of us have to budget for that, whether that's financial, whether that is the time that we have. We have to prioritize our generosity. We have to choose generosity. There's a reason giving is encouraged to be the first fruits, because we do that at the beginning, not the leftovers, not what's at the end. I like this quote from J.D. Rockefeller. He said, "I never would have been able to tithe the first $1 million I ever made if I had not tithed my first salary, which was $1.50 per week." We give not out of our abundance, but of what we have. And we give, and this is my last encouragement, be prepared to give sacrificially, because if we are truly giving of ourselves and all these precious resources of time and talents and finances and energy, then it will cost us. It will be inconvenient sometimes, and there's no way around that. Mother Teresa once said, "If you only give what you do not need, it isn't giving." And I think there's something to that. If we are to follow the sacrificial one, if we are to follow Jesus, then the way of Jesus is the way of sacrifice and self-denial, of lifting up others before we lift up ourselves. Paul gives a great example of this in 2 Corinthians 8. He describes how the churches in Macedonia are churches that are struggling. They themselves are poor. They do not have an abundance of means. They've been going through a difficult time of trials. And yet in 2 Corinthians 8:2, he said, they are also filled with overflowing joy, which has overflowed in rich generosity. And that's something I'm trying to grow in my life, that overflowing joy that overflows into generosity of who I am. And he says in verse 3, for I can testify that they gave not only what they could afford, but far more. They did it of their own free will, and they begged us again and again for the privilege of sharing in the gift for the believers in Jerusalem. Paul was collecting funds for the poor in Jerusalem, and he's saying these churches who did not have much were begging for the possibility to give out of their sparseness for those who were also struggling. And it's a little later in 2 Corinthians, in the next chapter, chapter 9, where he says, don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. Okay, that's always my hope. That's my goal. But I'll also be confessional. There are times in my own life when I need to give of time, or I need to give of financial resources, or I need to give my full attention or energy. There are times when I'm overflowing with joy and I'm like, yes, let's do this thing. There are times when I cheerfully give, and there are other times where the cheer is lagging just a little bit. It's slow to catch up with the need. And God loves a cheerful giver, but he calls us to be generous with who we are, whether we always feel it or not at the time. Growing up, I had a few chores around my house that I was supposed to take care of. And one of those, as the youngest boy, was all the mowing responsibilities after my older brothers moved on. And I'd done it, shared the load with them while they were still in the house. And then I had it all to myself. And I can tell you, mowing the lawn in the hot Texas sun, I was never a cheerful mower. I was never overflowing with joy that led me to go out and mow. There was not some deep internal motivation that said, you know, this brings me such delight to do this task. But guess what? I had to mow anyway. It was an obligation, even when I was not overflowing with joy. And so my prayer is that you will be generous with who you are, that you will be generous with your time, with your attention, with your talents, with your material goods. And my prayer is that generosity will come from a place of joy, but sometimes we have to fake it until we feel it. Sometimes we serve not because we're longing to, but because the love of God compels us. And it's at those times when I think we would benefit from remembering these words of David in 1 Chronicles 29, when he's collecting funds to build the temple. And we'll close with this. He says, but who am I and who are my people that we should be able to give as generously as this? Everything comes from you. And we have given you only what comes from your hand.